This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Shalom and a blessed morning to you. This is Hope FM, where you listen and live. And my name is Grace Mutiso. Happy New Week to you. Thank you for joining us for this program, which is a platform where we discuss all matters, leaders and followers. And if you've been a consistent follower of this program, you know we've been on a series titled Leadership Perspectives. So far, we've tackled three and we proceed on today. I hope you've been practicing and improving the same way I have been, because you know we sharpen each other on this platform. So I'll really be glad to hear what the response has been as you've been practicing the positive ones, sana sana. The response has been for you as a leader and your team, or if you're a follower and you're an upcoming leader, even you as a husband or a wife at home, you know, because Bishop mentioned that these principles cut across. It's not only in the workplace, in the corporate, also in the church and in the family setup. So I invite you to be part of our discussion today. If you missed the previous sessions, rush to our podcast, of course, after this session, and enjoy part one to part four. Today you get to part five of this discussion. Can you imagine? Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Of course, our lines are open for you to engage with us. 0717-400-555 at Hope FM Live at Hope TV Kenya, where we also live. You can engage with us. Allow me to bring Bishop on board. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm also very well. Thank you. As you mentioned earlier, we have been looking at perspectives to leadership. For those of you who just joined us and have not been with us in the previous 3-4 seasons, we have been looking at perspectives to leadership. Why so? Because from where I sit, and having observed leadership for a while and practiced the same, I've found that the way an individual, a person, views leadership or sees leadership is how they practice it.
True.
People have a concept of leadership in their minds. You and I, even as we sit here, your concept of leadership may be different from my concept of leadership. And how you perceive leadership is how you will practice it. So as we have been on this forum now for so many years, I just thought to myself, why don't we look at how do people perceive leadership? What do people say about leadership? And just see how that perception actually affects how they practice leadership.
Yeah.
So we have looked at different perceptions. The last one last session, we were looking at leadership as a transaction.
Yes.
And we said that there are people who perceive leadership as a transaction. You give, I take, and I give, you take.
Yes.
You know? So we are in a transactional relationship, and I do not want to repeat what we said, but you see that all over the place. I remember you were very surprised when we say that even parents practice this at home, you know, where you tell your children, you do your homework.
I will give you a lollipop.
I'll give you a lollipop. That is a transactional approach to leadership, where the child now knows that if I do my work well, I'm going to get a lollipop. So it is not an internal motivation, an intrinsic motivation that tells them that studying is important. But the lollipop is now become the important thing.
Yes.
So now they will work very hard because of the lollipop. And it goes all the way to national level, to global level, organizational level, you know. And we talked about that transactional perspective to leadership, where is what I give you. I give you something that I expect you to give me in return.
Okay.
And it is very prevalent in leadership circles.
You know, an example that was really itching in my head, Bishop, and I wanted to find out if that can fall in this transactional kind of leadership, and it's a very a current happening in our nation currently, where we see leaders would really love to go to churches and donate good amounts of money, good ones. But as Wanjiku down here, I know at some point I'll need to scratch someone's back.
Of course.
Is that transactional leadership?
That is transactional.
In few years' time.
And that is not just transactional leadership. It's high-level transactional leadership with real cash. Because the expectation is that as a church leader, as church members, you will remember that I supported you. So when the right time comes, you will also do the necessary. Yeah, so it is actually transactional leadership in transactional leadership studies. One of the most cited is political leadership. Very transactional.
Yes.
Very transactional.
Okay.
So during campaigns, you hear, I'm going to be bringing you water, we are going to bring electricity, I'm going to do your roads and all those kinds of things. Basically to say, if I vote for this guy, maybe our road will be done.
Yeah.
So we vote for you. Very transactional approach to leadership. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we stopped there, and if I recall, you are not very happy with that.
I dealt with it, Bishop.
You dealt with it.
I jichunad, I corrected, where I personally needed to, especially in the family front. You
yes.
know, you tell your children, do this.
Yeah.
Do this, yeah.
So today we come to a transactional leadership. It's a concept that was actually developed by James McGregory Burns. After observing how people do leadership, he came up with that a concept, not as a proposing it, but as an observation. Now, after he made that observation and put together the whole concept of transactional leadership, then he was of the view that this is not how leadership should be done. There should be a better way, as it were. And he came up now, actually did a lot of studies to find out what is the better approach to leadership. What would be a better approach to leadership other than this transactional approach? And that's he's the one who then came up with a proposal on a leadership approach or perspective called transformational leadership.
Yes.
So transformational leadership was developed by McGregory Burns, and he has done a lot of study and research on the same. Basically, transformational leadership is focused on two critical things. One is that leadership should bring transformation in the lives of those who work with the leader. So when we talk about transformational leadership, we are talking about the transformation of the people that you lead. But number two, which to him was the second, not even the first, normally we think of it as the first, is a transformation of the organization that you lead. So transformational leadership is focused on those two areas, the transformation of the people that you lead and the transformation of the organization that you lead. So a transformational leader wants to see the people that he or she is leading becoming better, empowered, progressing, successful, all those good things. But he or she also wants to see the organization that they're leading. And when we talk about organization, as we say, the smallest organization is the home.
Yes.
You know? All the way to a global level. They are those people who lead at a global level. So they want to see that organization, no matter how small or big, also going through transformation for the better. So the transformational leader, their view, therefore, their perspective to leadership is, how can I make the people I lead better?
Mm.
How can I make the organization that I lead better?
Mm.
That is why it is called transformational leadership. So it is focused on driving positive change and encouraging and fostering a sense of growth and development through promoting purpose, vision, mission. So those are things that really a transformational leader will be focused on. So how does a transformational leader, or how does transformational leadership view leadership? You know, because we are talking about perspective.
Yes.
To leadership.
Mm.
What is the perception, the view, the world view of a transformational leader when they think about leadership? That's what we want to talk about. And later, time allowing, we'll then look at how is it then practiced.
Yes.
How is it practiced? But first, we just want to look at the perspective, the view, the vision of a transformational leader, or a person who thinks of of leadership as a transformational responsibility. The first is vision. A transformational leader, they view leadership as focused on, where do I want to take my people?
Yeah.
Where do I want to take my organization? That is their first and foremost responsibility. So they look into the future and they see that desirable future where they want the people that they lead to be at and the organization that they lead to be at. So leadership, therefore, as far as transformational perspective is concerned, is about articulating and a compelling vision. So it's like a driver. Before you can drive, you have to know where you are going.
Yes, be very clear.
And be very clear.
Yes.
So that is, the leader is like a driver. You know where you want to take your people, and you articulate that in a very clear way, and then out of that, then you draw the people towards achieving the same. And the process of doing that is a whole process, of course. How do you achieve that vision? So they believe in creating a sense of purpose, so that people, therefore, that are serving under this leader or in this organization are driven by that sense of purpose.
Yes.
Because I have shown you how the future may look if we work together. I have shown you what we may achieve if we work together and if we commit ourselves. So that clarity and compelling vision then drives you to do what you do. It is not, therefore, what you will get out of it.
Mm-mm.
It is more what you will achieve as an individual.
Yes.
That then drives you to do the work that you are doing. So you'll find that people who work under a transformational leader are motivated not by what they can get or what they get, but rather motivated by what they are going to achieve.
Yes.
That is what drives them. So the greatest task of a leader, therefore, is to create that vision, that compelling, inspiring vision for your team members, that then causes them to rally behind you as a leader.
Yes.
So you don't have to promise them lollipop.
No. You just tell them you're going to Canaan.
Yes.
And this once is how Canaan looks like.
When you describe Canaan,
yes,
they are willing to go through the desert. Yes. And of course, I know there are many people who have promised us Canaan.
Forget those. Yes, the real Canaan.
So what makes this vision compelling is that the leader himself or herself believes in it.
Yes.
And you can sense it.
Mm.
You can see it. You can feel it.
Yes.
So that is why it is called a compelling vision. So it is not just words that I tell you, but it is that this is something I believe. This is something I am giving my life to. And therefore, it when you look at me and how I behave and how I conduct myself and how I am committed to this vision, you have no otherwise but to feel like I need to be part of this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that therefore then drives the people that you lead to rally behind your vision. So it is completely different from the transactional approach where it is what can I get and what will I give you? So for me to achieve my objectives is for me to offer you something so that you can rally behind my vision. But the transformational leader, first and foremost, sells you the vision.
Yes.
And once you buy into that vision, then we work together towards achieving that common purpose. Nelson Mandela of South Africa. When he came out of prison, and for the short time that he was a leader in South Africa, that was one of the approaches that he gave. He painted the picture of a future South Africa, a future South Africa that is united, that is going to conquer the world.
Yes.
And he used those words, you know, because he actually turned the very thing that was a problem to them into an asset. Because he's saying, here we are, a very diverse society. We have a population that no other country has, you know. We have the blacks and the whites and our tribes and so on, with gifted in different ways. In fact, called it a rainbow nation. So he used that which was actually initially a challenge that had brought South Africa down to its knees into the asset that now he says, this is the kind of nation that we can have if we all come together. And you know the famous report of how he used sports to unite the people. The rugby, which the South African blacks never wanted to even hear about because it was associated with the whites. But he used that to unify the nation and actually to develop the nation. I happened to have gone to South Africa just before 1995, and you could sense what was happening in the air, because he said South Africa must win the Rugby World Cup. We will first host it and then we will win it. And that just rallied the people together. And he used that same to build infrastructure, to raise funds, to build roads, to build stadia, and do many things, improve the cities, including those ones that had been neglected because they were in black community areas. So using just that one idea, he was able to rally the nation towards a common purpose. And South Africa during that period really stood out as a great nation, not just in Africa but in the world.
Yes.
Because of that compelling vision. So that is one of the things that distinguishes transformational leadership from other kinds of leadership. The idea that we focus on the future.
Yes.
The desired, compelling, beautiful future. The second perspective to leadership is the transformative change. Transformational leaders have this belief or perspective to leadership, that leadership is about bringing change. Mm. That's why it's called transformation.
Yes.
So apart from painting the great future where we are going, is also to point out the bad state we are in.
Yes.
Many times, it is not that the organization is at a bad state or that things are not going well, but to show that we can actually be better than we are.
Yes.
So leadership is about change. Leadership is about going to the next level. Mm. Leadership is about moving both the organization and the individuals to the next level. So transformational leaders are people who see leadership as not maintenance.
Mm-mm.
Those are managers. Yes. So transformational leaders see leadership as about change.
Yes.
So irrespective of what kind of organization they come into, it can be doing very well, but their first thought is, how can we do better? Yeah. Okay?
Yes.
How can we do better?
Mm.
That is what drives them, because without things getting better, then there is no leadership. Mm. That is how transformational leaders view leadership. So status quo is not their cup of tea.
Mm.
No. Yeah. Oh. They are always constantly thinking of new ways of doing things, innovative thinking. They constantly want to disrupt the way things are happening.
Yes.
So that for them is what leadership is about. Never being satisfied with where things are. So irrespective of how well the organization is already doing, irrespective of how well people are already doing, you're thinking, how can I make this person better? How can I make this organization better? How can I make this department better?
Yes.
That is how they see leadership. They are not happy with status quo.
Mm.
So they will not sit to the office, in the office rather, and churn out the same things all the time.
Mm.
They are thinking change, transformation. That is what leadership is for them. So if you are a leader, you come into a space and a few days down the road, a few months down the road, a few years down the road, things are still the same way they were. Then they think, transformational leaders think you have wasted space.
You need to be transformed.
You need to be transformed.
Yeah.
Because their thinking is
change.
Transformation,
yeah.
New things, new ideas.
Yes.
Steve Jobs is one person who thought that way.
Mm.
He constantly challenged every space he found himself. Previously, as an employee, as a staff member, he was always thinking, we can do things differently. We can do, and that's how he left employment, because he's in an environment where people don't want to change.
Mm.
We have found how things are done. We have put it in the books.
Yeah.
And this is how it is done.
Mm-hmm.
It goes according to policy, according to guidelines, according to rules and procedures and processes. And you cannot go out of those rules, procedures, and processes. So he just found himself, this to me doesn't work.
Yeah.
I want to think differently. And so when he set up his own company and organization, his one thing was constantly challenging his people to think differently,
yes,
to think new, to come up with innovative ideas, to be creative. And that's how he, in the technology world, he really was a pioneer of doing things differently, things that people didn't think would happen. Happened. Things that people thought never could work, In fact, his former employers told him that can't work. He went and he made them work and drove them out of business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that is a thinking of a transformational leader. Mm. When you get into a room, even if it's just changing the way the desk is facing,
yes,
it's different, you know?
Mm.
You have made a change. That's how they think. How can I make things different? That is their perspective to leadership. The third, which I have already mentioned in our introduction, is empowerment and development. People working under a transformational leader, one of the things you'll realize is that you are given a lot of responsibility. You are given a lot of room to make decisions. You are part of the decision-making process with the leader. You are challenged to try new things, sometimes beyond what you thought you could actually do. And that is what we call empowerment. Mm-hmm. So a transformational thinking sees leadership as empowerment.
Yes.
That is their perspective to leadership. So a transformational leader, if it is in a big organization, wants to move people from one level to another, wants to see people grow from one level to another. If you recall when we were doing team development.
It'd be with one boy.
Oh, we didn't do it with you.
Imagine.
Yeah, maybe one of these days we'll come back to it again.
Yeah.
Yes, but when we talk about team development, and we talked about a startup team where the leader sits at the center, and we drew this circle in the air, because those days we didn't have a video like now we do.
Yeah.
And the leader is at the hub.
Yes.
If you take it that you have a wheel,
yes,
where the members are on the circle of the wheel, and then the center of the wheel is the leader.
Yes.
So that is at a starting point when you start together.
Mm.
Then as the team develops, the leader moves from that center and goes to the wheel.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So becomes one among equal. So you work together in an equal measure. Then it moves to the next level where the leader then moves to the circle. So there's a circle that is surrounding. So the leader then becomes a coach.
Mm.
So you start as a team player.
Yes.
You go into a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Then you become a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leader now moves outside of the whole circle of the team into a consultant. So for that to happen, it means that you are developing your people to take greater and greater responsibility
very
as
true.
You go along.
Yes.
So that you can now move, keep moving, and eventually allow your team members to run the whole show. And you are out there.
Kiulizo. Swali.
Swali. Uliza.
Maybe it's digressing, but from what you've given, just tying it with the empowerment as a critical element on transformational perspective. So as the leader moves out of the circle, wants to move and be a consultant is the ultimate, I believe.
Yes.
Let's put it like that way, ultimate. And you're growing followers to come in and take up so that they're able to grow and even not only grow the ladder-wise.
Yes.
Trying to put my words together, ladder-wise, take up positions.
Vertically.
And also vertically and horizontally.
Yes.
And also pocket-wise.
Yes.
So, and a leader observes that there is a resistance from the team to grow. They still want to feed. they still want the leader to be like mother hen to them. What happens to that leader? What should that leader do?
You remember we started. It is very, very unlikely that a team that is working under a transformational leader will have that problem. It will be very unlikely. Yeah, unless it's a person who has just walked in and the previous style was different. And so now you are bringing this change and then there's resistance. But people who have worked under a transformational leader, it will be a natural thing. Why? Because remember we said the first thing that a leader does is to bring a compelling vision.
Vision, yeah.
So you are first and foremost inspired by that vision. You are driven by the desire to see this thing happen. So you are not even thinking positions. You are not thinking rewards, compensation. You are committed to making this thing happen.
Yes.
I'm sure you have heard the story of, I don't remember which president it was, but went to visit NASA in those early days when there was, they were just in the 60s, when they were working, America was working towards sending somebody to the moon. And he goes to NASA and finds this cleaner. And he says, who are you? And so on. And what are you doing? And he says, we are placing somebody in the moon.
Yes.
Yeah. So here is a cleaner who is not saying, I'm cleaning this place. Mm-mm. The way they say, I'm just a cleaner.
Yeah.
But he's seeing himself as part of the team that is working towards placing somebody
in the moon.
So that is what drives him as he cleans. You see?
Yes.
And it goes all the way to the people who are going to go actually out there in the moon, people who are building the rocket and so on and so forth. So that compelling vision is what drives the people. So it is very unlikely that now as we are empowering you to take responsibility, you would at the same time be resisting. What are you resisting?
Resist. Let's flip it, Bishop, and take the option two, which you said, you mentioned that unless it could be on a transition from style, let's say perspective A,
yes.
to this perspective of transformational.
Yes.
So how should a leader, Bishop, not Linda.
Yes.
Linda Mama.
Yes.
Handle that? How should a leader handle that if it's in the scenario of
transition? It is still the same thing.
Mm.
It is still the same thing. It is for a leader who has come into a new space as a new leader, the first thing again is to refocus the people. Don't assume that people know what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So the first thing really you want to do to your people is to remind them who we are, remind them what we are about, and remind them where we are going. Once you bring that compelling re-envisioning, I would call it, then everything that you do thereafter will be founded on that compelling vision. So for transformational leadership, vision is the most critical thing. What are we about as an organization?
Yes.
Where are we going? And how can we get there? So all these other things that we are doing are the how part.
Yeah.
The where and the what are the most important. The where is the vision, the destination. The what is what we are about, and then the why are we doing it?
Okay.
So if you have sold that idea, it will begin to, it is like oil that you have put in these parts. They will start moving much more easily. Some of them you will need, there was something we used to call, the name has just gone, ile unaweka kwa kutu, you know, the one you put in
rust,
you know, you have a nut,
mm-hmm.
and a bolt that has stuck together by rust.
Mm.
So the name has just gone. But you pour it in there and it begins to loosen that nut. Mm. Vision and mission are that chemical that you pour in there.
Mm.
And even rust will move.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. These days I see them, people use interesting kind of liquids, including some soft drinks.
Oh, and they work. Provided they work. Provided they work.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. We are talking about perspectives of leadership. Yes, this beautiful day. And we are on transformational perspective. And thank you for joining in. Remember this, I'll be sampling some of your questions and comments. Talk to us on 0717-400-555. That is 0717-400-555 at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. We'll sample some of your questions before we wrap up the program. So keep them coming as early as now. Yes, before we wrap up the show. Allow me to bring back Bishop. Karibu sana.
Thank you.
Yes, so we stopped at saying that this perspective focuses on empowering and developing followers.
True.
Yes.
True. So the this empowerment, because again we are talking about perspective, how leaders view leadership. The transformational leaders see themselves as mentors and coaches.
Yes.
The people that come their way, they want to leave them better than when they came. So you look for ways and means of developing people, mentoring them, coaching them to become the best of themselves. In the process, the organization or team that you're leading benefits, because when you empower people, they give the best that they can. When you mentor people, they're able to do or to work much better than beyond the levels that they came in with. So with time, these people become great contributors to the growth and development of the organization.
Yes.
And that's why transformational leaders therefore view leadership as a mentorship responsibility, a mentorship task. For those of us who are Christians, that is the approach that Jesus took. He, right from the beginning of his ministry, he took these 12, and the first thing that he said is that he brought them to him so that they may be with him.
Yes.
And that he may develop them. So the his focus was not so much on what are they bringing, but is what am I giving them?
Yes.
So that by the time he left in 3 years, he had mentored these people and he could confidently leave to be a consultant. You know, yeah, now he's just a consultant. When you face a situation, you go and ask, Lord, now what do we do here? You know, you know.
Yes.
So he left them, and that work that he left them has survived for over 2,000 years. I don't know of any other organization that has lasted that long because of that empowerment. In fact, the first thing before he left them, he told them, go to Jerusalem, you're going to receive power.
Yes.
And then you will be able to do all the things that I have called you to do. So that if each one of us who are leaders were to take that perspective to leadership, that the people that have been given to me or the people that I find in my team, these are my mentees.
Yes.
These are people who want to grow. And as I've said here before, then you don't fight with them.
Mm-mm.
There's no need to fight with them.
No.
Because they are your mentees. They are people you are growing. If they make mistake, you sit down, you discuss, you say, so, what went wrong?
Mm.
How can I help you? You give them advice. Now go and do this. Next time do it this way, and so on. And you help them to come up.
Yes.
Instead of making a lot of noise.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is for transactional leaders.
and theory.
And theory X. X.
Yes, and theory X.
The theory X leaders, the X leaders.
Yes.
Yeah. apart from the mentoring or mentorship, the other perspective that transformational leaders have is relationship. Transformational leaders view leadership as a relationship event, as a relationship, so that you'll find that these people, some of their best friends come from their team members. So work then is not just a transactional event. You come, you do it, you go. But that you are intertwined in the relationship, that you contribute to my life, I contribute to your life. You know, it's a two-way thing. So we develop a friendship, a relationship that then helps us to journey together in this work environment.
Yes.
And you can see how that will affect how people work. Because now you're working as friends.
Yes.
Not as boss. You know, subordinate. You share more than just that level of I am the leader, you are the follower, you are my team member. There are things I say and do and you not say and do. But we journey together. So you contribute to my life, I contribute to your life.
Yes.
And that relationship approach then builds a strong trust-based relationship. You, because if you are friends, I cannot undermine you, undercut you, work behind your back to bring you down. We work together because we have a common purpose, we have a common vision, and we are in this thing together, and we are friends.
Yes.
Imagine working in such an environment.
Very lovely.
Very lovely.
I love that one.
And yet we can create it.
Yes, we can.
We can create it. Yes. So when a leader is always stressed up when they get to their office, they fighting with their team members and they are undermining each other and undercutting one another. I just think to myself, so what kind of leader are you? These are your people. These are your people.
Yes.
So why should you undermine them? Why should you undercut them? They are not here to fight with you. They are here to look up to you.
Yes.
And it is your responsibility to help them to grow and develop and become friends. And beyond the work environment, you are also engaged and involved in anything else that they are involved in. So you become very good colleagues and friends in the work environment. So you'll find the transformational perspective to leadership is that I want you to be my friend.
Yes.
And I want to be your friend.
And it's for true.
And it's for real.
It's not an agenda.
No. There is no agenda. The agenda is for us to bring transformation together to one another and to the organization.
So, I've observed, let me use this example, a friend who is a leader who really desires to bring the friendship bit with the colleagues, the team members, the followers they are leading. But now in between, there is complacency with the team members. They know, boss ni beste. Boss can't do anything. So how do you handle that? Does it mean this friend of mine is not a transformational leader because there is complacency in the team?
We go back. Grace.
Bishop, allow me to ask questions as they come.
Yes, so I want to
and
answer,
remind.
I want to ask you, I want to answer your question.
Yes.
And I say this, all the things we have said today and before are all interrelated.
Yes.
So we said the first thing and the first place you begin.
Vision.
Where are we going?
Yes.
Think of driving with a friend to Mombasa. You are going on a business trip or on a holiday or whatever it is. You are the driver. In spite of all the conversations you may have, your eyes will be on the road.
Focus. Focus, Mombasa.
Otherwise, you're going to have an accident.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And your friend has to assist you. If he sees some bump there, he say, hey, slow down there. There's like a pothole there.
Yes.
Of course, drivers don't like being told too many of such things. But they are there to assist. If you have a puncture, he comes out to help you fix that puncture. So that is the relationship you're talking about.
Yes.
It is a relationship that you are not taking advantage of our relationship.
Mm.
So that now I have a puncture and you sit in the car while I change the puncture.
Can I take a nap?
We are friends.
So you are the leader.
You are the leader.
Just do.
No. So if I have a puncture or if there's a noise in the car and we both hear the noise, when I stop, you are the first one to jump out to go and check what was that noise.
Yes.
Do you see that relationship?
Yes, collaborative.
It is very collaborative.
Mm.
It's very collaborative and supportive of each other. Mm. So you don't just say, the car is yours, you are the driver.
They will ask you.
Yeah, you are the one who will be asked. So, me na keti kwa my seat, I wait for you to go round the car, check round, come back, and then I ask, so what was the problem?
Are you finished?
And by the way, there are people like that. I don't know whether you have ever had such passengers.
Yes,
who sit in your car and something happens and you jump out, go and fix it. You come back and they were waiting for you, nicely seated in their seat.
Mm.
That's not a friend. Mm. That's not a friend. So in this relationship, we are journeying together.
Yeah.
You help me, I help you. In a very mutual goal of us getting there together. So that's why I say when the right environment has been created, it is very unlikely. You will get odd one or two out there who don't buy into the vision and don't agree with where you are going. But if you have sold this vision clearly, and you're acting the way we have talked about, I'm mentoring you, I'm helping you, I'm interested in your welfare, why would you just be seated there as I struggle with the changing the wheel? Really? Ukona shida gani?
Njoo tumfanyie maombi.
So it actually comes out in a very natural way. It is not forced. And this friendship is not forced either.
Yes.
It's because of the way I treat you, you feel obliged to also treat me nicely. Because when one good turn deserves another. So that relationship naturally, grows naturally.
Yes.
It is not forced. I'm not saying grace be my friend. No,
mm-mm.
Like the children do. No.
You must.
It is a matter of us journeying together and that relationship growing slowly as we journey together.
Okay.
Yes. Barack Obama was known for that kind of a leadership. The people who worked with him have testified, have said that is how he worked. A very jovial, a very relational approach to leadership. And as a result, he was able to achieve so much from his team members because of that very relational approach to his work. You even see in the global arena how he had friends almost across the world, you know, with fellow national leaders in different countries. So you rarely heard that Obama had enemies here and there, you know, because of that relational approach to leadership. And as a result, he was able to make a lot of progress and achieve a lot, because there are people who just, when you are like that, people want to help you. to succeed.
Very true.
You know, it reminds me of the story of David, King David in the Bible, when he was running away from King Saul and ended up in caves and in the deserts and in these wilderness places. The Bible says that he attracted, or people got attracted to him, who are in debt, who are in distress, who are discouraged, you know, the three D's. But David brought them to himself and began to work with them, and they cultivated a relationship. When you read the story of David and his men, it is an amazing relationship where you are not sure whether these were followers or friends. They had such a tight relationship, like the young people would say today. And that made these people to grow into what is known in the scriptures as the mighty men of David. The same people who are discouraged, in debt, and so on, became mighty men that you could not touch David. You dare not raise a voice, you know. Anytime anybody tried to do anything, they would say, do we sort out this guy? You know?
Yeah.
Because they had cultivated a more than just a leader-follower relationship. Mm. They were actually friends. Mm. And that is the kind of leadership that brings about transformation, because his perspective to leadership was to transform these men into great men.
Yes.
And he did whatever he could to help them to become great men, and they did. Mm. Became great men. Powerful men, mighty men. When you read just the kind of exploits they did, you know, one man fighting until the sword could not be removed from his hand. I mean, they were powerful. That happens when you have that perspective to leadership. But when you are just seeing workers who you want to exploit, you want to get the most out of, you lose.
Yeah.
Let me, going back home, like you said, that as we said here, leadership, even at home, look at, you go into some homes.
Yes.
And you look at the mother of the house and the house girl. When they are in the kitchen, you would think that there's a visitor who came, a friend who came. They are engaged in such conversation. Yes. They are laughing. They are doing work together. And you can just see these people are friends. You know, they love one another. You go to another home, Nikelele. I told you to do this. I asked you that. Have you not done? And you know, you get very little out of that girl.
True.
You get very little. They give you bare minimum. And they are only waiting for opportunity. And akwambia, mama, mini meenda. Very early in the morning, you find they have packed their bags.
And gone.
Mini meenda.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are not friends.
Mm.
What would it cost you to just see this girl who has come to live in your house to serve your people and your children and your husband and yourself as a friend, so that you work towards developing them, growing them, helping them, getting involved in their personal lives and their home? They have left their homes to come and live with you. Why don't you work towards developing these people? I have known people who have had house girls for 30 years.
Yeah.
And the people say, 30 years?
Yeah.
One person.
Yes.
It's because they cultivated a relationship. That person became part of the family. Some of them have developed, have been taken to school, have grown, you know, some have found husbands, they go for their weddings, they fund their wedding. It is a very good approach to leadership.
Yes.
You impact lives in a very unique way.
Yes.
Now, think of now our formal work environment. You have all these people who could be great warriors on your behalf, you know, can stand with you because you have created that conducive environment within which they can work.
Yes.
Yes. Relationship.
Relationship.
The last thing I want to say about this perspective is ethics, which is in my area of of responsibility. Yes. That's where we started our discussion today.
Yes, we did.
A transformational leader sees leadership opportunity as an opportunity, as we say, to grow the organization, not to grow and benefit themselves. So their approach to leadership is integrity.
Yes.
Is principle. Is ensuring that the organization gets the best and the people get the best.
Yes.
So they live with good morals, good standards, good principles, high levels of integrity. Those are underlying their leadership role. So they are stewards. They see leadership as a stewardship.
Yes.
I have been given the assets, the people, and all these have been put in my hands so that I can steward them. Steward the resources, steward the organization, steward the people, so that the best can be experienced in this space that I'm providing leadership. So their approach to leadership, therefore, is how can we grow this organization,
yes,
to be an organization of integrity, of ethics? Even whether it is a public organization, a private organization, even a family organization, you are operating within those parameters, because that is how you see leadership.
Yes.
You see it as a stewardship responsibility. Mm. And so transformational leaders view leadership as a stewardship responsibility. And so they want to do whatever it is within their capacity to ensure that everything is done according to the law, according to standards. They don't cut corners. They don't steal from the organization. They don't steal from their people. They don't mistreat people, and so on and so forth, because that is how they see leadership.
Yes.
It is not an opportunity for me to enrich myself. It's not an opportunity to grow myself at the expense of the people or expense of the organization, but how can I use the resources and the people that have been given and the organization that I'm in charge of so that it grows? Mm. Yeah, that's how they see. Stewardship of resources, stewardship, yes, of values, mm-hmm, stewardship of the people, stewardship of the organization is what drives them. Mm. I rest my case. Maybe you have some questions.
Wow. This is an excellent leader.
This is an excellent
perspective,
leader.
Yes. And this organization is thriving.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Allow us to get to some few questions that you've forwarded to us. Remember, 0717-400-555 is our WhatsApp line. You can drop there your question or comment, or 20933. We get to them shortly.
Hope FM, another quality service from Christ, is the answer ministry. Question of the day on the Leadership Forum.
Let's start with this one. Chineke, who says, hey, I'm laughing because I think I'm that kind of a passenger who just relaxes. And says, sorry to confess, but I must change, he says.
Thank you. That's why we are here, so that we can get something that we can change. I'm glad that Chineke has picked that one.
Okay. Sawa. My listener from Mutuapa, kindly, you could ask your question during live questions tomorrow on Breath of Heaven. Yes, Breath of Heaven tomorrow. Not Patruba, but Jack Tonomusi will be glad to answer your question you're asking regarding marriages. You know, please, there. Today we are focusing on matters leadership, but thank you so much for keeping it right here. How best can I apply transformative leadership in a manipulative community or church or congregation that doesn't embrace change, only wanting you to do the way they are used to?
Very good question. That is a challenge that we face all the time. But we have given the answers in the course of our discussion. The first is to transform people's perspective of organization. Many times, a leader, especially if you're coming into an organization that has existed for a while, or an organization that is going through challenges and issues, the first thing you want to do is to what we call re-envisioning. Get opportunity, whether yourself or through the support of others, external people, to bring first of all your team leaders, the people at the very top, to ask yourself, why do we exist as an organization?
Yes.
Why do we exist? And that's a question that many people, I have conducted several organizational transformation programs for various organizations, from churches to companies to NGOs, even government organizations, especially before I joined government. But we still do that even up to today. And one of the things that surprises me is that when we bring together the top team and we just want to start with, why do we exist? You'll be surprised. Board members,
stories,
CEOs, senior managers, they can't articulate. And I tell them, don't give us the mission statement. That is the mission statement. Give us, why do we exist as an organization? Because if you do not know your purpose, there's no way you can pursue it. And if you don't know your purpose, then you will start fighting small things around here. This is my territory, that's your territory, you know, because you don't know your purpose.
Yes.
Number two, what is our vision? Where are we going? Where are we going, and what do we want to achieve in the next 10, 20 years? What was the original vision? That one, sometimes I have seen people stumble and fall. You know, even the CEO, even the chair, even the what, you know, big people, you know, and now they are looking at each other. You tell us. How are you a leader in an organization whose vision you don't know? So my advice to our listener is, whether it is a department, a branch, or the whole organization that you are leading, that is where to begin. Bring people together and let's talk openly. Why do we exist? Where are we going?
Yes.
What do we want to achieve? Once you have articulated that very clearly, then now go to, how can we do it? How can we do it?
Yes.
Because the how part is where your part will come in, my part will come in, somebody else's part will come in, you know?
Yes.
This is in the implementation process.
Yes.
The strategy. And you'll find that then some of those things that people fight over, for us, we have been here, you know, this is how we have always done. When you come to the how can we do it?
Yes.
And then you will bring in the whole issue of the current environment.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
In this current environment, how can we achieve this? It deals with those things without having to write memos.
I agree.
You agree. Thank you.
100%. Okay. This Enrison says, I'm loving the discussion. As someone who tends to be appointed for leadership everywhere I go, allow me to... what did you want to say? Quip how I run away from friends and people in general who sit in the car while I'm trying to find out the problem. Or I quit Do you say you quit or you quip or you quip? Great analogy. I think they're saying they run away from friends and people in general who sit in the car while she is trying to find out the problem.
Yeah. Those are not good friends. Hata ukifika petrol station, I've given you a ride. You're a senior guy. Hata kusema tu, and I give you these 500 shillings, you also add to the fuel. It's not a must. But that's how friends operate. But to just sit and I'm going around the car, and then when I come back, then you're asking me, so what was it?
Umemaliza kujaza mafuta? Na imekaa sana.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Patrick writes and says, from Subukia, thank you for tuning in. Bishop, now where, sorry, now where as a nation we eat, drink, sleep, and live politics that is solely transactional leadership in approach, how can a nation, organization, and family embrace better perspective and philosophy in leadership of our lives?
That is the best place to be in. We just talked about David. David was living in a hostile political environment, but that's where he chose to demonstrate and practice transformational leadership. So where there is darkness is where light is most needed. So the fact that you see our nation as facing a lot of darkness, you and I who believe we have some light, no matter how small it is, a candle, light it in your, around you. At least the people around you will see some light. Yes.
Okay. It starts with you and I.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, today people, sawa too. PM from Kitengela says, great conversation. I once saw an exhauster truck with the motto written behind it. I quote, "We take crap from everyone." I found that to be very inspiring for them. At least they know their purpose.
Hey, whatever they meant.
Thank you, PM. So, another one. How do you handle paradox in your leadership style?
What do you mean?
I don't know. The listener's written.
Leadership is always a paradox. So, it is why leaders are there. To deal with paradoxes. Because leadership is a paradox. Like you've just said, sometimes you do good to people and they see it as evil. You know?
Yes.
Sometimes the outcomes of your good are looked at from a different perspective. And you are punished for the very good thing that you have actually done. So, I don't know what kind of paradox the person may be thinking about, but the simple I would say is that leadership is about paradoxes. Yes. And that's why you are there.
Okay. Nelly from Nairobi says, I'm happy and enjoying today's discussion. I'm happy at least I move my desk. Does this... Does this transformational leader follow policies?
Yes. The transformational leader does not mean that you don't follow policies, but you don't allow policies to bind you and stop you from making change.
Repeat that again.
A transformational leader operates within policies, but they do not allow policies to bind them. Let me give the ultimate example of Jesus. Jesus, when he came, and he was doing things that were against the law, and some of his the people who confronted him said, "Now, so should we not do this? Do this?" He said, No. I did not come to abolish the law. In fact, I came to strengthen it." Yeah. So it is the way I do things is about. Because my focus is not on following policy. My focus is in achieving our vision and mission.
Mm.
So if there's a policy that is not getting us there,
yes,
then we will have to change it. We have to change it. So we do not break policy, we change them.
Mm.
So that they align with where we are going.
Mm.
Yes.
Policies must take us to our Kana.
Exactly.
Okay.
They are guidelines.
Mm.
Yeah, so you can't allow your guideline to be your life.
They are not cast on stone.
No.
Okay.
They are not cast on stone.
Mm.
Change them. And even if they are cast on stone, throw the stone and get another one.
Okay.
Yes.
Beatrice.
The law was made for man, not man for the law.
I hear you.
Yes.
Beatrice Wanyande says, thanks a lot for sharing. I feel encouraged to continue with my transformational leadership style. Asante sana, Beatrice. Keep it up. Thank you. Mondi, you can see you also tuned in. Steve says, enjoying the show. And says, hey, Linda versus leader, it's okay. And asking God to grant them the grace to be transformative leaders. Thank you, Boniface Onyeike, my good brother, for listening. Thank you, George Ndungu, Pastor George Ndungu, Asante Sana, listening in, a good student of the Leadership Forum. Those two, Boniface Onyeike, Nganga, Pastor.
Okay.
And Reverend George Ndungu.
Okay.
Nima fan sana.
I know Ndungu. I'm not sure I know Boniface.
Mm. Boni comes here and blesses our young people.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. One more before we come to a time of prayer. I've enjoyed the program today. The three areas are key. I will do a self-check on the same. I work with a very political organization, so political, Toto, was so and so, and so and so are my colleagues. Kindly comment about politics, Daktari.
There are two types of politics that you can be, I don't know which politics that they are talking about. There is the national politics, which is a different ballgame altogether. Then there is the organizational politics, which is just as political as any other. So there's a whole, maybe one of these days we'll talk about how to navigate politics. But
yes,
the simple advice that was given by none other than Jesus himself was, be as wise as a serpent and as gentle
as a dove.
So navigating politics requires wisdom, tact, and humility. Otherwise, you'll be slaughtered before you know it. You'll be on the dinner table.
Thinking you've been invited to eat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the great conversation. It really shines light, especially in sports sector, where most leaders suppress talent.
Well, it is in every sector, by the way. Yeah. Talent is suppressed in every organization. Just get the wrong leader who does. And we talked about, that's why we are talking about perspective.
Mm.
There are some leaders who think they can only excel by suppressing others. What I tell them, the world is big.
Yeah.
Allow others to thrive. Mm. And as they thrive, they lift you up.
Very true.
They lift you up.
Mm.
You when they rise, you also rise. Yeah.
Mm.
So whether you rise within the organization or you rise outside the organization, you know, because you can, if you do a very good job and empower your people and do very well, you become a coach, you become a consultant, you get into another space where now you are in leadership is required, and leave your mentees to now lead this other one.
Yes.
That's how you grow.
Mm.
Before you know it, you're in a global arena. Why are you fighting over this kiosk?
Stop fighting with children.
Children.
You're a leader.
leave that. Leave this space for them. You go to a global arena. The world is your marketplace.
Mm.
So keep moving, keep growing. And as you treat people well, as you transform people and you transform organizations, it's amazing the kind of doors that will open for you.
Okay. One last one, then Bishop, you'll pray for us. How do I deal with the suffering I'm going through for doing good?
Well, it depends on the cause and source of that suffering. But suffering for doing good is not also unusual. It is not nice, but it is not unusual. So ask for grace to forbear while you are in that situation. But more than that, find out the source of it. Could you be a contributor to that suffering? And if so, what can you do about it? I normally say the only person you can change is yourself. So look at yourself and say, to what extent could I be contributing to this situation? And what can I do about it?
Okay.
Part of doing about it is leading your leader. Yes.
And we talked about it. You could pray, Bishop.
Let's pray. Once again, we thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity to just discuss these matters to do with leadership. Indeed, you are our greatest leader who helps us and supports us in every situation. I pray for each and every one of our listeners and those who are practicing leadership, and even like the person who has just written to us who is going through difficulties in their leadership arena. Lord, we pray that you will help them and deal with that situation and any other situations we find ourselves in, so that our journey may be smooth and our journey may be transformative in whichever place we find ourselves. Be glorified and honored, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and God bless you. That's all we had for you, the Leadership Forum today. Remember to catch a repeat of this program right here at Hope FM on Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. anytime at the Hope FM podcast. And of course, next week, part one, we proceed on with this series. My name is Grace Mutiso. My take home is, please, let's go out and be transformational leaders. Starts with you and I. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.